Before we open God's word, let us bow our heads for a word of prayer. Eternal, loving Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that a second time now in this day we can gather ourselves yet again round about thy word and look into its pages and know that what proceeds forth is truth and life-giving. So, Father, we just pray, Lord, that thou wouldst bless us now as we would be partakers of it, and bless it to our inner man, our spiritual man, that we would be fed by thee and directed by thee, that we would please thee well. For we pray this in the blessed name of Jesus. Amen. For our reading this afternoon, let's turn to Psalm 19. Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he hath set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. The Bible here says that this is a psalm of David, and if we look at the first portion of this psalm, it speaks of the creation of the Lord and how that is spoken of, and it can't be misinterpreted in any way. And then it speaks of the perfectness of the ways of God and the way he would have us to live our lives, our spiritual lives, and then a reflection at the end of desiring to have a communion with the Lord in pleasing him in an acceptable way. So when we consider these first six verses here, it speaks of the glory of God's creation. Speaking of the heavens are making this declaration. The heavens are making this announcement, so to speak, of the glory of God. And we consider and we look at the things that are above. We see clouds, beautiful clouds, and then we see a thunder cloud and the height of the miles high of a thundercloud, and then we see lightning proceeding forth from the heavens, and then we see tornadoes, and we see great and marvelous things of stars and the sun and the moon and all things that God has created. Truly, all those things are making a declaration. They're making this declaration, and the declaration is the glory of God. That's what we see in the skies. And then it says, and then the firmament, that would be the earth, the land and the sea that we stand upon, and it shows forth his handiwork. It shows forth the intricacies and the ecosystem and how there's symbiotic relationships between the things that are alive and that we can see here upon earth and everything that we see. It's beautiful. It's his handiwork. It's his handiwork. And it's showing forth his handiwork. So there's a declaration, and then there's a showing. And then day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night it showeth the knowledge. And so when we consider the creation and the glories of the creation and how the glory of the creation is primarily there to show the glory of God, to show how great God is, to make a declaration that there is a God who created all things, who spoke the worlds into place. And then we think on a spiritual level, in the same manner as creation glorifies the Creator, we as God's creation also are to glorify our Creator, our God, our Father, who we have this opportunity and this ability to call our Father. It says that the firmament shows forth his handiwork. And then we look in the New Testament, it speaks that we are his workmanship, created unto good works. We are also to show forth the glory of God. We are also to magnify his name, even as creation does. It says, there is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. In every place you go, whatever continent you are on, whether it's even in the South Pole or wherever it might be that you are here upon this earth, there is no place where it's confusing, it's not clear, it's misunderstood about the glory of God and his creation. There is no speech or language where the glory of God by his creation is not revealed. It says, their line is gone out and throughout all the earth, and their words unto the end of the world. The words of creation that speak of the beauty of creation and all that God has created, it goes out throughout the whole world. No place, no matter what language is spoken, that is confusing. It's all very clear that God has created the earth, the firmament, and the skies, even unto the ends of the world. It says, and in them he hath set a tabernacle for the sun. The Lord created light. And if we go back to Genesis 1:1, it's or 1:3, it says that God created light. It's one of the first things that God created. It was the first thing that God created, was light. God said, let there be light, and there was light. And so even in here, David's reflecting on this, and he says, in them, in this earth, and on the firmament, and in the heavens, he hath set a tabernacle, and within that tabernacle is the sun. And we relish the sun. We are so thankful for the brilliancy and the light and the heat that comes forth from the sun. There's a, I believe it's in Proverbs or Ecclesiastes, it says, truly light is sweet, and it is a pleasant thing for the eyes to behold the sun. We just simply appreciate sunny days as opposed to the difficulty sometimes, even on our even in our spirits and in our moods, when we don't see the sun for a week or two, and it's just cloudy skies, it weighs on us. So it is a pleasant thing. Truly, it is a blessed thing to see the sun, and for the to see light, and for the eyes to see the sun. And it says that, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, the sun, when it comes up in the east, the beauty of it and the the strongness of it is really strong, is really beautiful. And it's saying here that it's as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. This is the beauty of God's creation. And in when we see the beauty of God's creation, our thought ought to be, is me as God's creation ought to bring forth the beauty of God likewise, even as the sun does. As the sun is expelling all the darkness and it's rising in the east and it's coming up and you begin to feel the heat of the sun. We see these things. And the thought ought to be in our mind is, I ought to glorify the Lord in the same way. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament is showing forth his handiwork. And we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. to glorify him. Even as we read this morning, that we would love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and that we would be a neighbor to those that are around about us. And so these first six verses, it speaks of God's creation and the beauty of it. Then it transitions into the Word of God and the beauty and the strength that's in the Word of God. And there's these declarations that are being made and the result of them. The statutes of the Lord are right. That's a declaration. The statutes of the Lord, the commandments of the Lord, the law of the Lord, all these things, we can see that it's perfect. It's perfect. There's no flaw in it. It's complete. It's full of itself, the law of the Lord. And then what it does is, then because it is perfect, it can convert the soul. It can convert the soul to be one that would be as God would even have him to be. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. As we read the Word of God more and more, and we come to know him more and more, we develop from a simple state, and more of an ignorant state, into one who is wise. The statutes of the Lord are right, and they rejoice the heart. When we consider God's Word, and God's Word is telling us to live in a way that would be well-pleasing in his sight, then when we do that and follow God's way, then there's rejoicing. There's a rejoicing in the heart. We are glad in him. The Apostle Paul was preaching in a certain place, and they were when he performed a miracle, they wanted to worship him and Barnabas as gods, and so barely was Paul and Barnabas able to stop them from worshiping them. And Paul says, "Sirs, why do ye these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto the things that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein." The Apostle Paul is referring to what David was speaking of in Psalm 19, that God is the creator of all these things. These things are beautiful. They are intricate. We look at them with wonderment. And the Apostle Paul is here saying the same thing, that the living God, he made heaven and earth and the sea and all that therein is. Then he says, "Nevertheless, he left himself not without witness, in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness." This is what our God, our Creator, has done. He had given us seasons. He had given unto us the sun to come out. He had given unto us spring and summer, that we might be partakers of fruit and food. And then he says, and he fills our hearts not only with food, but then also with gladness. But in the same way, even in our physical man and in our spiritual man, that we are filled with the goodness of God. We are filled with his word. We find it to be good and right. And we are blessed by it. And it makes us to be rejoicing in him. Rejoicing in him. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Again, think of all the miracles that Christ did in making those who were blind to see, and what a great blessing it was in their lives. But then more so those who spiritually, who he enlightened their eyes, that they might see that the commandments of the Lord are pure. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. The judgments of the Lord, that which the Lord declares is good, and that which the Lord declares is evil. These are the judgments of the Lord, and they are true and righteous altogether. King David recognized that. He recognized that when Samuel showed up to anoint him as the next king. He recognized that when he fought against Goliath. He recognized that when he was on the run from King Saul. He recognized that when he was king. He recognized that when his son Absalom came against him. He recognized all these things, and he's writing it here, inspired by the Spirit, that the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. It's good for us when we come to that conclusion that the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. We will have rejoicing in the Lord. And we will know that God is good and God is with us and God will provide. He says, more to be desired than gold, yea, than much fine gold, and more than honey and the honeycomb. The judgments of God, that's what we should seek after. More than that which the earthly, more than the earthly things that we could seek after. Jesus said, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endures unto everlasting life. And so if we keep the judgments of God, which are true and righteous altogether, then we will recognize that they are of greater worth than fine gold or honey in the honeycomb. And moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. We will find a great reward from the Lord when we keep his true and righteous judgments. We will find, not according to what one would think, or ourselves would think, or others would think, what is true, what would be good judgments. No, but what the Lord, but the judgments of the Lord, because they and they alone are true and righteous altogether. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. It's often said, and we know it to be true, that it's pretty easy to identify faults in others and pretty easy to overlook faults in ourselves. And so he's saying here, who can understand his errors and cleanse thou me from secret faults? We should have a heart in ourselves that we are thinking that God wants me to be true. God wants me to be meek. God wants me to be merciful. God wants me to be a peacemaker. And when I am glorifying the Lord, even as creation glorifies the Lord. Even as creation glorifies the Lord, we can also glorify the Lord when we walk in his judgments that are true and righteous altogether, and we can then be cleansed even from secret faults. There's another portion of Scripture that says, most men will declare their own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. You tend to talk to people and it's they're quick to speak of their own goodness. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. And so we are to be cleansed from secret faults and in doing so when we follow the law of the Lord and know that his commandments and his statutes are perfect and good and sure and they enlighten the eyes. And then here towards the end he says, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Presumptuous sins. Presumption. Presumption is being arrogant. Presumption is being brazen. Presumption is being egotistical. Presumption is being overconfident in ourselves. That's to be presumptuous, to exceed the limits of that which would be considered to be normal. And so we are to be kept back from those things. Kept back. And even as King David asked of the Lord, this is his prayer to the Lord, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. And then he says further, let them not have dominion over me. Sometimes we have traits that in our carnal nature they really work against us. They really work against us. And so we are to yield ourselves to the Lord and ask him for his help, that we can not allow those sins to have dominion over us, that we would not be presumptuous in any way, that we would not think of ourselves more highly than we ought to, that we would not think of ourselves as arrogant or to be arrogant, but to be meek, as Jesus taught, to be merciful, as Jesus taught, to be a peacemaker, as Jesus taught. And so our lives ought to be congruent with nature. Nature clearly, in every language, it can be understood that God has created all these things. God has created that whale that comes up out of the ocean and breaches and splashes back down on the surface. God has created shooting stars, and we see that the heavens declare the glory of God. God has created all these things that we see. And then our thought is, I ought to be like creation. I ought to be meek. I ought to be merciful. I ought to be a peacemaker. I ought to fulfill the commandments of God. I ought to forgive. And then we can be, as nature is, glorifying the Lord. And then he says further, then I shall be upright. If I don't allow the sin of presumptuousness to reign over me, to have dominion over me, then I can be upright. Then I can be upright before the Lord. And I shall be innocent from what? From the great transgression. The great transgression was spoken of this morning. And here are these exact words. We can be innocent from the great transgression. How are we innocent from the great transgression? By keeping that commandment that Jesus spoke of this morning, where we read that we are to love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourselves. If we don't love God with our all, then we are guilty of the great transgression. We are guilty of the great transgression when we flip God and ourselves, when we flip creation and the Creator, when we flip God's will and my will. We are guilty of the great transgression. We can't be meek. We can't be merciful. And then fall into a great transgression of flipping God and man. And then he concludes this psalm by saying, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. The words of our mouth. The words of our mouth. We're very clear that Jesus teaches that by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. And so we are to be very, very careful. James speaks of it as well in James chapter 3 and other places in the scriptures, that we are to be very careful with what we speak, because they have ramifications. And so the words of our mouth should be acceptable in God's sight, who is our strength and who is our Redeemer. Just as the sun comes up in the east and we see its full strength of light and heat coming from it, so our Lord is our full strength in terms of light and heat and a desire and a passion to serve him. And then when we are yielded to our strength and to our Redeemer, the one who has bought us back, then we can allow that our words, the words of our mouth, to be acceptable in his sight. And then he also says, and the meditation of our heart, that which we think upon, that which is our desire. I know it was recently that I mentioned about Philippians 4:8, but I'd like to mention that verse again. It speaks that whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, virtuous, worthy of praise, that we should think on these things. That should be what should be the meditation of our heart. What we're thinking about. Think about those things which are true. You know, it's been said that the reason for a lot of the mental health issues in the world, not just in our nation, but in the world, is because there is so much focus on that which is not real, that which is not true. Think of video games, false physics, and all these other things that are not true. And because there's so much exposure to what's not true, there's a mental health crisis. And so we are to think upon those things which are true. Those things which are honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report. And then this should be our meditation and those things that we are thinking about, because Christ is our strength. And he is our Redeemer. And we want to do those things which are acceptable in his sight. And then the Apostle Paul writes to Timothy, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly unto them. Meditate upon the Word of God. Be partakers of the Word of God. Think upon the Word of God. And then when we're thinking and reading and partaking of the Word of God, then what comes out of our mouth is that which is congruent with the Word of God. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. We as God's people, in same manner as creation, ought to glorify the Lord and magnify his name. Soon we'll see the magnolia trees and other things just come to life. And specifically a magnolia tree, it just has flowers all over it, all over it. And when we think of that, the first thought ought to come to mind is, this is the glory of God. This is pointing that it doesn't matter what language you speak, that there is a God, and he created these things. He created that, and it's glorifying him. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. And in the same manner, we ought to think, I ought to be meek. I ought to be merciful. I ought to be a peacemaker. I ought to be forgiving. I ought to love my neighbor, that I can give glory to the Lord, even as his creation does. May God bless his word upon our hearts. Amen.